begin with a parak of Tehillim recited by Mr. Bender's beloved brother-in-law, Mr. Sam Martyr.
Mizmor leduvet Adonai mi yugir ba'alecho Yumi yishkan v'hakotchecho Hoylech tumim foil tzedek V'doiver emes b'lvuvoy Loi rugal ala shoyna loi usu l'rei ru V'chepo l'nusu Al karoivoy Nivze be'in of nemos V'sire Adonai yechabet Nishbelu rav lo yumir Kaspoi loi nusum b'neshech ושוחת על נוקי לא ילוקח אוי זה אלה לא ימות לעולם
רבי וויליג
מזמור לדוד Adonai Ra'i Lo Echsa Benos Desh Yam Yitzeni Anei Minuchos Yina Haleini Nafshi Yishovev Yancheini V'mag Lesedek L'man Shemo Kam Ki Yalech B'geit Salmoves V'yuro Ki Ato Yimodi Shivdecho Mishantecho Himo Yunach Amuni Taroch Lefonai Shulchon Negat Zoroi Dishanto Vashem Enoshi Kosi Revoyo אך טוב וחסד ידפוני כל ימי חיי ושבתי בבית אדוני לאורך ימים
רבי גנק
Shir Lamalos, Esai Nail Haore May Ainivo Ezri, Ezri Mayim Adonai, Osesha Mayim Vaaretz, Ayitain Lamot Raglacha, Ayanum Shumracha, Hine Lo Yanuvelo Yishan, Shomer Yisrael, Adonai Shumracha, Adonai Tzucha Yadiminecha, Yomam Hashemesh Layakeka, Viareach Balaila, Adonai Yishmar Chami Kara Yishmar Snafshecha, Adonai Yishmar Tzicha Vuracha, Meatav Yad Olam.
Stephen Exler, please.
Shir HaMa'alot Eilecha Nasati Et Einai Hayoshvi Bashamayim Hinecha Einei Abadim El Yad Adonaihem Ke Einei Shivcha El Yad Givirta Kein einenu el Adonai Eloheinu ad sheyichanenu. Chanenu Adonai chanenu ki rav savanu vuz. Rabat sab'ala nafshenu hala'ag hasha'ananim habuz ligayonim.
Please ask Rabbi Sarah Harwitz please to come forward.
Ashrei ish asher lo halach ba'atzar rasha'im uvaderech chata'im lo amad uvamoshav latzim lo yashav ki im b'torat Adonai chavtso uvatorato yage yomam v'layla v'haya ke'et shatul al pagemayim asher peryo yitain v'ito v'alehu lo yibol v'chol asher ya'aseh yatzliach Lochin harsha'im ki im kamot asher tidfenu ruach al kain lo yakumu rasha'im b'mishpat v'chata'im v'adat tzadikim ki yodea adonai derech tzadikim v'derech rasha'im toved.
My dear friends, if there's anyone whose levaya could be in two synagogues, deserved tribute in two synagogues, it would be Mr. Bender. We won the coin toss, and indeed the procession on the way to the Beis Olam will pass by the Hebrew Institute, which particularly over the last years has been such a warm and loving spiritual home, second spiritual home for Mr. Bender, that we're honored that Rabbi Avi Weiss is here to share words of tribute.
Mayor Bender, Mayor Yechiel Ben Moshe Ephraim Vilea, father of Barry, Linda and Alan, grandfather of Josh, Esther and Avi, great-grandfather of Eliyahu, Hadassah, Shlomo, Nitanel, brother of Rachel, beloved husband of Eva, born and raised in Lodz, a survivor of the Lodz ghetto, marries Eva in the DP camp, Fahrenwald. Every person in life, I believe, has a sentence, has a word, which is descriptive of who we are. Reb Meir's word, I believe, was Meir. He lived, your father lived, your husband lived by his name. Meir, to bring light. The first time the Torah mentions light is in the beginning of Bereshit, in the Genesis of time. Vayomer Elohim Yehi Or, and God said, let there be light. Light is inextricably bound with God. This was Meir Bender. Meir, Reb Meir, walked with God. One could see it in the intensity of his tefillah, of his davening, in his piety, his talis over his head, as he davened, not only for himself and his family, but for Am Yisrael and all people. And not only was Meir, Rev Meir, a man of God, he lived a godly life. What counted most to him was that word which is overused, but he lived. He lived a life of menschlichkeit, of honesty, of chesed, of humility. of vehalachta bidrachav, of imitatio dei, really, really following in the footsteps of God, never forgetting the mission that God gave to all of us, ve'asita hayasha v'hatov ve'inei Hashem, do that which is correct and good in the eyes of the Lord. And Meir did all of this. Meir lived with the light of God, despite having emerged from darkness. His life was a life of separating the holy from the profane, light from darkness. Every time you say the Havdalah, Abba should come to mind. He was the quintessential Hamavdil, Bein Kodesh Lechol, Bein Or Lechoshech. Yes, his sister Rachele was mercilessly murdered in the Lodz ghetto as she reached out for a potato peel. Yes, Reb Meir marries his beloved Eva in the DP camp, and the Mesader Kedushin was none other than the Klausenberger Rebbe. A year after the war, the Klausenberger said brachot under your chuppah, the Klausenberger who lost his wife and each of his 11 children. And notwithstanding, Reb Meir lives and marries and loves Eva and is blessed with the most doting children, the image of Barry wheeling your father up steps, down steps. They didn't have to be ramps. And of course, the image of Linda caring from close, caring from Israel. Always there, Linda, together with my dear friend Alan. Reb Meir lived the life of the Hasidic Rebbe who once said, no matter how dark, Ktsat mehaor doche harbe menachoshech, a little bit of light can push away all of that darkness. The humility of the small but great light of Reb Meir pushed away the darkness. And light is also associated with love. And so every morning we say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Yotzer HaMa'orot. We bless God, the creator of the luminaries. And immediately, what do we say? Ahava Rabbah, with great love. Light is associated with love. And how Reb Meir loved the eclectic symphony of our bayit. As pious as he was, you would think he would run from people who didn't know, who observed less, and yet his hands were open. He loved and accepted all. And most of all, Meir loved children, not only his own children, not only his own grandchildren, but all children. Children were the ultimate response. As Barry said to me yesterday, the ultimate revenge, the ultimate response. So Reb Meir is the candy man, distributing sweets. But not only distributing the sweets in the form of a candy, but internally sharing his sweetness with children and having children share their sweetness with him. I was one of his children, one of his older children. We're all children. And I'm forever grateful to Reb Meir for allowing me, even as he sat in his wheelchair, to dance together every Friday night. I'm forever grateful when I would lean down and he would whisper in my ear, no matter the challenges that I was facing, I'm forever grateful for his words of support and encouragement. Rav Meir, Rav Meir, Ish Or, a person of light. In Rav Meir's honor, I'll sing and ask you to join me the melody of children, children from the Shoah. It's a melody about light. It's a melody about God, of hope that good will prevail, of love. And as we sing, perhaps we can all close our eyes and envision this great man, Ish Tzadik Haya, this great, righteous, humble man. This is the image. Talis over his head, children nearby, hands open, welcoming all, and that delicious, angelic smile. Delicious, angelic smile that the world so desperately needs across his face. Oy fin pripechik brenta fayero in de stib is heis und der ebele von kleine kinderlach lent they live base un reb meyele de rebe of kinderlach lent they live base zog she kinderlach gedenk she tayero vos ich lernt ay chois zog she noch amol und take noch amol kom itza lif on Zakshe nachamo und take nachamo komit alif o.
We'll now hear words from Mr. Bender's grandson, Josh, who will be sharing a message from his father, Rabbi Alan Yoder.
My father is currently in Israel, and I know he wanted to be here, but in lieu of that, he asked me to relate the following words. Always a man of aristocratic bearing, Mr. Bender wore his Yiddishkeit as a uniform of pride. He was not rich, famous, or flashy, but he was blessed with the crown of a good name. He was well known for his piety, sincerity, and his name Meir, meaning to cast light. My father-in-law treated me like a son. He made me, as everyone around him, feel welcome. For Rav Meir, chesed was not an effort. It was who he was. How did this Polish-Jewish refugee shed his light as a Jewish aristocrat? He was a faithful Jew in the season of darkness. The word aristocrat refers to ones who are better, and he was the best. How did he do this? One, he worked As hard as he worked in men's clothing, Meir was always dressed like a gentleman. He wore a hat and his expression of dignity. Brown and gray hats he wore. He did not spend his money on the frivolities of the momentary fashion. He made sure that Barry and my mother Linda learned in yeshiva day school. And this in a generation where women did not always receive the formal education. He gave charity wisely and caringly. There were people for whom he bought Pesach, yeshivot for whom he remembered needed support, and yeshiva men who were given special prices for suits because they were B'nai Torah. We would ask, is this store a for-profit business? During his work week, Meir worked day and night on his feet and with his back. After this physical work, created two spiritual dimensions. You will not find a more honest, upright, decent, dedicated businessman. When the yeshiva shall malav, he will be asked, "Were you honest businessman?" He was the most honest man I have ever met. And he demanded honesty of and from others. Meir's light was grounded in Shiviti Hashem l'negdi tamid, his sense that God, his maker, is always watching, and demanded the moral best of him and us. On Shabbat and Yom Tov, Meir dressed the day, suit, hat, tie, a table set for the king. And there were always guests at his table. Conversation was either Torah, culture, or Israel, never Lashon Hara. And if I can add personally, if you tried, he would shush you. Meir was a Mokir Rabbanan, an admirer of learned Jews. He lived for and according to their words. When he retired, he got the book Learning that the war years denied him. Here was a Jew who was real, authentic, inside and outside, speaking echad bepeh ve'echad belev. He was not a man living in the past. His children, to a one for three generations, are shomrei Torah u'mitzvot. He looked to the future. He was a faithful Jew in the commandments he kept and in the family he raised and the hopes that he realized. At the end of his Seder, he would sing L'shana Haba Yerushalayim. His long, difficult, and excellent life may be described best by the end of Magid at the Seder. Uvechol dor vador chayav adam ha'arot et atzmo ki ilu hu yatzam mitzrayim. As a Holocaust survivor whose family is religious, accomplished and growing, he lived to see and attend bar mitzvahs of great-grandchildren. And he was blessed with awareness. He was unflinchingly faithful Jew in the fibers of memory. Lefichach anu chayavim lahodot lahalel l'shabech lefa'er l'vromem l'gadel l'hader l'natzech l'mi she'asa lanu l'avotenu et kol hanisim ha'elu. Meir would recite Psalms regularly. He saw miracles of survival in life, the obstacles he overcame, his aristocratic menschlichkeit, and his strength of character all deepened his faith. He was a faithful Jew because he filtered his facts with the filter of faith. From the Holocaust in Poland to the creation of a family as good as the Nazis were bad, Meir merited to see that great light, the light of that festival day in his lifetime. On Yom Tov, we say a prayer that anticipates the rewarding awaiting Reb Meir. Harachaman hu yanchilenu yom shekulo tov, shekulo kodesh, shekulo aruch, shekulo or shel olam, havav nizakeh kulanu, k'Reb Meir Yechiel, la'anot me'oro. I'd like to share just a very brief personal memory. Those who know my grandfather know that one thing he loved very much was Torah. Something that he tried to avoid as much as he loved Torah was machloket. were disputes. For those who know my family, you realize this might seem a bit incongruous, especially around the Shabbos table. And I can always remember when we were discussing, arguing passionately Divrei Torah, he would sit back in his chair, looking, not really participating, with a hint of a smile on his face. And after passion subsided, time to bench, I hand him a bencher, and invariably he would call me over, and he said, "You know, Josh, what this one says is good, and what this one says, also good." For all of the scholars he met, and for all of the scholarship that he heard, I don't think there are many people in this world who, when it comes to living a godly life and a life of God, were as enlightened or as enlightening as my grandfather, Meir Yechiel.
Rabbi Barry Bender,
it's Chodesh Nisan, the month of Nisan, and we don't really make eulogies for people that pass on. The eulogies described are those that bring the audience to tears and break their heart. I don't think my father was ever a big fan of anything that broke people's hearts. In fact, it was repairing broken hearts that occupied his time. My father could spot a person a mile away that needed a hello or a how are you. He had a way of just making you feel good. He would often tell people in Yiddish, "Hant is git, morgit vet zan besser." Today is good, tomorrow will be better. Or he would give you a simple bracha, a blessing of gesund and nachas, and all you could do was smile. So let me try to tell you of the story who he is and why he is. Because people like my father, even in passing, shouldn't be referred to in the past tense. What they leave behind to the people they touch lasts lifetimes and consistently exist in the present. Daddy, as I called him, was born in Lodz in 1919. He lost his mother, Leah, when he was 4. And here starts the story of who he is and why he is. My father was never one of those people that would sit you down and tell you hours and hours of stories. He would give you bits and pieces, very short nuggets, for you to remember and piece together yourself. The nugget relating to his mother dying was that when he was 4, was that he was the one who was very sick and on the verge of passing on when his mother made a plea to Hashem to take her and spare him. Sure enough, my father started to get better, and then his mother got sick and eventually passed. I believe this gave my father a purpose early on, as he would be reminded of the story as he grew up. His father, Moshe Ephraim, was a member of the Gerish Tibel, and my father remained a chassid his entire life, while not dressing the part, certainly living the part. Like many of the people we call survivors, my father's youth became adulthood very quickly. He found himself and his family in the Lodz ghetto, where he was a mine laborer. Upon returning from the labor one day, he found out that his younger sister, Rachel, had been shot by the Nazis for stretching her hands through the ghetto fence trying to reach discarded potato peels, as Rabbi Weiss told. If you were ever in our home during the week, you would find a bag in the kitchen tucked up in the corner where my father would sit. In the bag, there would be leftover challah from Shabbos. It didn't matter to my father how dry the challah had become. It just couldn't be wasted. This was where his appreciation for what he had came from. He was never wanting for what he didn't have. I never heard him envy somebody else's life. He made do with his. There were many war stories, such as his escape from the Lodz ghetto with his childhood friends. And there are no historical recorded escapes from the larger ghetto, but my father did escape. And when historians wanted to interview him about his experiences to correct the history, my father refused. In fact, when one of his friends that escaped with him wanted to tell the story at a Shabbos table, my father slammed down on the table and forcefully said no. To this day, we don't know the entire story. My father was almost killed twice during the war. One time, a sniper's bullets passed through his lips, missing his head by inches. The other time was one of those rare nuggets that he shared. He and his friend were delicately pacing themselves in between German and Russian lines as the Russians were pushing the Germans back. They stumbled onto an abandoned ammunition shack and found two bags. One had bread and the other had looted valuables. My father felt that it was Hashem's hand that they walked and had actually found food, while his friend, mocking his faith, took the valuables. As they walked down the road, there was a sudden explosion. My father's friend stepped on a mine and was killed, and my father, who walking alongside him while being thrown a distance, ended up with minor scratches. My father believed in miracles and that the hand of Hashem was not some idea or some metaphor. He believed that he and thousands of others like him that shared their own similar stories were living proof of divine providence. After the war, he was given a job of escorting surviving Polish rabbis back to their towns. Needless to say, not the most popular job in Poland for a Jew to have, especially at that time. In one instance, he was almost thrown out of the window of a moving train because of his refusal to abandon the rabbis in his charge. If you visit our house today, you won't find any products from Germany or Poland. For my father, forgetting means forgiving, and that was never an option for him. He met the love of his life, my mother, in a DP camp there. They were the second couple to be married by the Kloisenberger Rebbe. My mother and father knew what kind of family they wanted to bring up, and for them, there was no option other than following in the traditions of their ancestors. My father, mother, grandmother, and now sister came to America, and from the outset there was no doubt that my sister and later myself would get a Jewish education. My father worked as a clothes presser, and then after saving enough money, opened a clothing store on the Lower East Side. LBC Men's Clothing was born. L for my sister, B for myself, C for corporation. While my father worked hard 6 days a week to be successful, he never forgot the lessons of his experiences taught him. LBC was not a vehicle to become wealthy, but rather a model in silent chesed. He was the caregiver to the not-so-fortunate. Word started to spread that if you were poor and needed a suit for your wedding or for yeshiva, there was a store and a man on the Lower East Side that would somehow make it work. A rabbi or Rosh Yeshiva would call up my father and give him a heads up that a poor family was coming to buy a suit. They would tell my father how much the family could afford, and like magic, the suit they picked out cost that amount. In all my years working in the store, I can't remember any suits ever having a price tag on them. For my father, it was an honor to be of service to a rabbi or a Rosh Yeshiva, or to be able to watch a smile come on a chassan's face as he realized he could afford a suit for his wedding. If you were a Rebbe in a school or had a large family, or usually both, you knew Mr. Bender would take care of you. Silent chesed was my father's way of doing things. He would never brag about what he did for others, and most of the time they had no idea they were even the recipients of chesed. For my father, he was just doing what he was supposed to do. My father believed in showing respect for rabbis and Klei Kodesh. If you were asked by the rabbi to do something, it was an honor to be proud of. For my father, menschlichkeit, chesed, and honesty were the three most important for anyone that needed it. The three most important characteristics a Jew could have. There was nothing more troubling to my father than Talmidei Chachamim or scholars that lacked menschlichkeit. He would make his comparison to a cow that gives a whole bucket of milk and then with the kick of one knocks it all over the floor. For my dad, being a good Jew meant kadosh, holy, in everything you did, and not just in shul but all the time. When he retired, he rediscovered an entire life that he just wasn't able to do while working. He became a voracious reader. He would read the Jewish Week, the Jewish Press, and the Allgemeine Journal cover to cover, most of the time believing everything they had to say, even when they contradicted each other. He loved learning and speaking in the Mamalashin. He had a set of Chumashim and Mishnayos in Yiddish and learned almost every day. He reconnected to going to daily minyanim and discovered Daf Yomi. Retirement also allowed him to focus on his ever-expanding illicit lollipop trade. I knew it was getting very serious when we were no longer buying the one-pound bags in the supermarket, but rather we had to schlep to Pashka's store in Borough Park and buy 40-pound cases. One time they had no sealed cases, so I had to dig out the lollipops from the open bins with my hands, waiting as my father checked them for damages. Nothing was too good for Mr. Bender's kids. I couldn't imagine the kids looking for anyone but Mr. Bender when it came to their lollipops. My father had it all down to a science. They could only have one per person. They had to show both hands. They had to say thank you and good Shabbos. I can't tell you the exact date when my father started giving out lollipops, but it was at least 40 years ago. He always felt that the shul should be a sweet place for kids, that they should feel at home there. My father had many different names: Mayor, Misha, Daddy, Grandpa, Lollipop Man, then later Lollipop Man with the walker. But the name you heard the most was Mr. Bender. In shuls where people address each other by first names, Daddy was mostly Mr. Bender. And it wasn't a sense of formality, it was just that Mr. Bender seemed to fit him just right. And that was how he would introduce myself. "I'm called Bender," as if that's all you needed to know about him. The other important thing that retirement brought him was the opportunity to say Tehillim for anyone that needed it. He would go through the entire book, let us know he did, and then start right from the beginning. It seemed like there was always someone that needed help somewhere, and my father knew about it and was praying to Hashem for them. I can't remember when people started to come to him to get a bracha, only that since they returned bringing other people, that something must have been working. I remember that around my bar mitzvah, the reverend of my shul, after taking ill, asked my father to pray at the kotel for him. The request was simple. The reverend wanted Hashem to give him 5 more years. I forgot all about it. The reverend passed away while I was in Israel after turning 18. The reverend got his 5 years. Even in the hospital this past week, my father asked for his tehillim. When I asked him who he was saying tehillim for, he answered, "For Allah Yisrael, all of Israel." When I asked him what about himself, he said, "I'm included in Allah Yisrael." So I guess his life could be summed up as immersed in Allah Yisrael. I had a gift bestowed on me by Hashem, that I didn't only have a father, but that he was also my best friend. Our relationship came full circle. First him taking care of me, and then me thinking I was taking care of him, but actually he was still taking care of me. He had that talent. He had an amazing memory. He would check on you by asking things he already knew, and when you called him out on it, he would just say, "Oh yeah? Okay," with that twinkle in his eye and that innocent smile. He knew what everyone in the family was doing and wanted to always make sure everything was all right. He had a sense of humor that was witty and sharp. I never knew how he would react to certain situations or what he really felt about certain things. So I remember we were in shul and a girl sang Yigdal at the end of davening. On my way home, I asked him what he thought about the Yigdal. Without skipping a beat, he said the Yigdal was very good, but the boy needs a haircut. We had talked about today and why we're here, not in specifics but also not in abstract. My father referred to this day as the day he would be going home. He always knew that each day he lived could be the one day that he would go home. And when you asked him how he was doing, he would sometimes answer, "I'm here." Not necessarily telling you if that was a good thing or a bad thing, but rather letting you decide for yourself. Daddy believed that when a person's time was up, that was it. There was nothing you could do about it. He would say, you get a telegram, you have to go. He was very simplistic with his analogies, not because he was a simple man, but because he saw this phase in his life as a very simple thing. He called today going home because for my father, today's a reunion for him. A very big reunion. This is a day he's waited a really long time for. Not hoping it would come, but just that when it did, what would happen? So today he gets to see his family. He gets to see his family that he never said goodbye to. The 187 members of his family that he lost in the Holocaust. His mother, his little sister, his father. The poor that he took care of on the Lower East Side that loved him and have been waiting to be able to thank him all this time. And I'm sure many more that I can't even think of. My best friend is going home today. And now I hope you have a better idea of who he is and why he is. And I hope we're all better for the time we had with him.
My dear friends, when a funeral is held, on one of those days when tradition advises against eulogies, you always find some formula of permission. In this case, no excuse is needed. Because this part of Nisan is distinguished, because it is the time of the gifts of the Nesi'im, the princes of Israel. And it is there in their honor that we eschew grief. To speak of Mr. Bender is to speak of the gifts of one of the true Nesi'im. Prince of our people. His life was a kind of miraculous power, and one which somehow seems to us to be uniquely and intrinsically Jewish. This I say not out of chauvinism, but on the platform of biblical precedent. In the book of Judges, we are told that Samson, the strongest of all men, and Israel's hero in the struggle against their Philistine oppressors, Samson began his engagement with his enemies by taunting them. And he taunted them with a riddle. And it was a riddle that he knew a Philistine could never solve. Of course, the backdrop of the story is that he killed a lion with his bare hands, and that a swarm of bees made home in the carcass of the lion and produced sweet honey, which Samson discovered and fed to his parents. But the form in which he challenges the Philistines, "Vayomer lahem meha'ochel yotzo machal, ome'az yotzo masok." How is it possible? Meha'ochel yotzo ma'achal. From a process of rapacious, devouring consumption, of destruction, could come one who nourished. And how is it possible, me'az yotza masok, from so much cruelty, could emerge sweetness like honey? When you imagine what produced Mr. Bender, how much of the world's darkest side he had seen, that beautiful young mother who didn't even see him become a boy, really, much less a man, the sister and all of those loved ones who were taken away from him, and the untold cruelties that this gentle, sensitive, loving man saw, and then delivered into a world which was no easy world. The Lower East Side, to which the Benders came in the years after the war, made no special allowances for people who didn't have the language, for people who didn't come from formal education. There were no special breaks. And into that world of fierceness, me'ha'az yatsa masok, there are many people of whom it might be said he was a good businessman. I don't know whether Mr. Bender was a good businessman. There's a long list of the opportunities that he, without hesitation, let go by. There was never a question of opening on Shabbos. There was never a question of opening on Shabbos with a partner and a shtar and a heter. He wasn't interested in lumdus. Not that kind. There was no amount of money in the world which could convince him to sell a Jew, no matter how removed from observance, a shatnez jacket. This is not for you. God doesn't want me to take your money for that. His Lower East Side, the business of the good man, was a kind of a transforming lens which created an anatefka all around him. It was the anatefka which saw people as individuals. Sometimes that meant recognizing saints that no one else took notice of. Sometimes it meant taking strange characters and elevating them to a kind of an individualism and worth. The famous fireman who would put fire department logo on every jacket he bought, or more likely was given by Mr. Bender. And the people who came to him, and he didn't sell them a thing. He clothed their lives. You know how Mr. Bender loved Shabbos. I can see him in my mind, realizing that a yeshiva bachar about to go on his first date had forgotten to pick up his suit before Shabbos. And Mr. Bender, running home to his own beloved Shabbos, goes to the yeshiva so that a boy should start his life on the good foot. This went beyond integrity. This went to saintliness. If he thought that there was a Jew who might be connected with a mitzvah, and that there might be a moment's hesitation, because the mitzvah might have a cost, Mr. Bender, without hesitation, paid whatever it was to bring that Jew together with a mitzvah. Can see some poor, confused customer who came down because he was told he'd get good service and a good price. And Mr. Bender knew there was a little shotness in the collar and sent him to the tailor across the street with a piece of material to replace. The man must have thought, he must have thought he was like on psychopharmaceuticals. I don't know. The man who sold me the suit told me I should bring it to you and you should rip out the collar and you should put in this piece and he'll pay you for it. Because a Jew needed to be connected with his mitzvah. When I think how much of Mr. Bender's magic never even made it to language. Those beautiful hands. And when he decided something was in the hands of God, and when he decided something was better not spoken of, Mr. Bender appointed himself as the Zocher HaNishkachos, the one who would remember all of those who were forgotten. Now this was a task for Sisyphus. It didn't bother him that it was impossible. I remember he was already retired and up in years, riding the subway to Brooklyn because there was an elderly pair of brothers who had outlived everyone. And Mr. Bender said, no one will visit them. So when the verdict is no one, who did you still have? You had Mr. Bender. One of those dear people, Abe and Anna Meislish, their brilliant daughter Beth, were all taken away. Mr. Bender would remind me that it was their yard sites and he was saying Kaddish. Mr. Bender went to each kever and prayed for them. When Mr. Bender said, don't worry, I will pray for you, he meant it. And it didn't matter that there were, who knows, dozens, hundreds of people that he had in mind at any given moment. Only he, only someone like him, only a true prince of Israel could imagine how so much sweetness could come out of someone who had known so much cruelty. No Philistine could ever answer that riddle. The answer was Mr. Bender. And something that I think needs to be stressed. Ribbono Shel Olam is very careful with his diamonds. A diamond needs a platinum setting. to have been rewarded by God with a life partner like Eva Bender, who not only loved him, she respected him, and she is the one who said amen to each of the blessings that he gave the world. She is the one who never missed the things that all the money he dismissed might have bought. Her jewels, her stoles, were the stories and the extraordinary name that he always had. I remember one of the first Mr. Bender stories that I heard, not from the family. It's from a man I know who was there in the old shul in Kingsbridge Heights, Rabbi Miller, Zichron Livracha. And he lost his father when he was just a boy. And on a Thursday or a Friday in shul, he said, "Is there anyone who might be able to help make a minyan? We're making an unveiling for my father." Mr. Bender said, "How are you getting to the cemetery?" He said, "Some convoluted combination of buses and trains." He says, "I'll drive you." And he picked up the widow and the two little boys and helped to make the minyan for their young father who had left them. They made that minyan at the cost of closing his store on the most lucrative day of the week. And the little boy didn't know until much later what real angels look like in this world. And those were the riches that he brought to Eva. And those are her jewels and her mansions. She and he were so happy dwelling in them. To have watched the very special relationship between Mr. Bender and Barry was something beautiful to behold. But it really was beyond language, because Mr. Bender extended to Barry the expectations that he held for himself, which were heavy. But in our last conversation, I was telling him the beauty that he had made in the world. And when it came to describing Barry, again, there were not enough words, just his hands. And he said, "Barry? Barry?" Like, do you really think there could be words? What it means to have a son like this. He was so proud of Alan, Linda, and the fact that he had finally established his tree in the soil of Eretz Yisrael. Because we all know Mr. Bender in Israel was a whole other thing. There's a side of him which was only alive, truly, completely, fully in Eretz Yisrael, as he went around with all the mitzvahs that he saved for there. My friends, I apologize for going on so long. But I can't help feeling, as I said to the family last night, This is not the passing of a gentleman of a good age. This is an extinction of a whole species. Who has the faith to turn our world into an anatevka? To see it through the eyes of God? To hold the poor so tenderly as if they were sacred things? To hold the blandishments of wealth and power and influence so cheap? If we had the right teachers, people would bring kvitlach to the kever of Meir Bender. Our comfort that a man hasn't been snatched from the world, just that the angels finally caught up with one of their misplaced minions and decided to bring him home where he always belonged. It is our tradition that we hope when a person dies that they will remember to be a Melitz Yosher, a pleader on behalf of their family in Klal Yisrael. If there was an AP course in Melitzas Yosher, Mr. Bender will have placed out of all the training, because his whole life he was a Melitz Yosher. Mr. Bender went to his rest in a talis which he snatched back from the poles in his symbolic rescue of the great mission of the Jews to love the world. Mr. Bender, just know we are all wrapped in that talis. And because of you, me'az yotza masok, we have tasted the sweetness that came out of the greatest cruelty. And we will never forget. Our hearts, my dear friends, go out to Rabbi Barry, to Linda and Rabbi Alan Uter, to Rabbi Josh, to Esther and Avi, to Elio, to Hadassah, to Shlomo, to Nathaniel. But you know that's not the end of the list. What do I say to my dear Rabbi and Marcel and their children? What do I say to the little children who come to shul looking for Mr. Bender? What do I say to my dear Sam and Sonia, who have lost such a wonderful brother, not a brother-in-law? I say, we celebrate the gifts of the Nisim. May our people hold them forever. My dear friends, we will in a moment be saying the Kel Mole Rachmim, despite the fact that in some communities it is not said in Nisan. I am told that in Lodz they said Kel Mole Rachmim. And for the purposes of the life of Meir Bender, the Lower East Side, and the Bronx, and the Riverdale, and Riverdale are and will be lodged. And so I'll call on our chazan to say the Kelma Lerachamim. After which we will proceed to Beth David Cemetery for the interment. The Shiva will be observed in the Bender home. And you know it's a very short Shiva. So you only have a brief amount of time to go and fill yourself up with the beautiful stories. So somewhere around 2 this afternoon until 5 or a little after, the family will be receiving visitors, if you can, immediately after Shabbos. And they said there will be no curfew. As long as there's someone who wants to be with them, they will be with you. And all day Sunday. And Monday morning, Shiva ends, Tzalocha, at Chatzos. There will be minyanim on Sunday morning at 8:30 and Monday morning at 6:45. Note, there will not be a siyum in the Beis Ovel, but there will be a siyum following the 7:45 minyan here, and I'm sure in the Hebrew Institute as well, which people will still have time to catch, and 7:10 for Mincha and Maariv on Sunday evening. Thank you, my dears, for your patience.
Please stand.
Hail Amale Rachamim Shochein Bamromim Amtzei Menucho Nachono Al Kanfei Hashchino Memalos Kiroshim Atarim Kizoa Rakia Mashiri Es Nishmas Meyechiel Ben Moshe Ephraim Veleo Sholach Yolomo Mavu Shekom Ishbachto Mispalelim V'yad Haskuras Nishmoso Megane Yeden Tehei Menuchoso Lochein Balorachamim Yahasti reyu b'sei sekin ofov li'olomim Ma'itzro mitzro achayim es nishmoso Adinoi hu nachaloso V'yonuach v'sholom Al mishkovu
Friends, please allow the family to depart first, and then we invite everyone to join us as we walk behind the Aron to give Kavod Acharon.